All right, welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton. Along with me, as always, is the totally tapered tyrant, Bethany McChesney, and the godfather of Decca himself, Yancey Culp.
What's up, team?
Before I forget, this episode is brought to you by Duonamic and Aerolax, and let's roll from there. All right. Yancey, anything going on?
I was just doing some assisted pull-ups on my Duonamic.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm serious. I leave them hanging in my doorway, and anytime I go through my doorway, I got to grab a couple pull-ups. I pretty much 90% of them are assisted because I would be doing way too many unassisted and it just wouldn't work out. But I love that thing, man.
You know what? They've been great. They've been fantastic. Good guys. Awesome. Thank you so much. So look, we're going to get right into this. I got a couple of questions for you before we get to our draft. So a couple of questions, and one, because I was just on Instagram and this just came out. So there was talk about in 2024 having age group relays. And then I just saw a post about it. And to my surprise, I thought it was just going to be the fit, but now is it going to be a strong and relay as well?
As you guys know, 99% of the reason we exist is to support our affiliate program and the affiliate gyms, the 300 gyms across the US, Canada, the UK, Ireland, and various other countries. And that's who we're all, that's where most of our focus goes. And I honestly think it's going to be way more impactful for the Decca Strong and the Decca Mile gym events because, you know, every single one of those events, people can, you know, when you go to compete, you're going to go to one of six leaderboards as a team. One of our five age group categories are the elite categories. So, of course, it'll be fun on the big Decafit events those days. But, you know, there'll be 700-800 events next year. And every single one of those teams, matter of fact, the elites will go to the age group awards as well. But what will happen at the end of the season, so that's just like we always do, is we'll, you know, the top 20 have the ability to race elite. But, you know, it just, there's teams have blown up. At the gym events and at the Decafit events. And it's just, we had to go here because it's one, it'll open up a ton of new opportunities for world championships, but more importantly for that, just people seeing, and I think the strategies involved with who you partner with to try to stay on the good side of that 20 year age gap. And I just think it's going to be a lot of fun and provide a lot of opportunities for our gym owners to kind of grow their.
So I was just thinking about what then the world championship would look like. And that's a lot of races. So is this going to be now like a 5-day thing? Are we going to split up teams world championships and individual world championships?
No, the good thing about teams is that we can get a lot of teams out on course quickly. Now you would think, You're onto something right there, because if you look at the three day schedules for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week, they're pretty packed. But we kind of took a sneak peek of next year. Okay, what would that look like? You know, when you have, let's see, 120 teams. You know, with the age groups, 120 spots. So it'll be 3 to 4 hours of teams. When you look at starting, just a little hint, if you look at starting the morning at 7 instead of 8, and you look at adding about 90 minutes onto the end of the 90 minutes to 2 hours in the end of the day, that 3 hour buy of time would accommodate it. But yeah, it's half of each day will be teams.
I'm stoked. I'm excited. I know that at our events, and I think with yours, Beth, too, that the teams just, it creates so much excitement. Everybody's so jacked up to do it. And it's just so much red wine.
Put it this way. We hand out 18 batons at every Decafit.
Yeah.
There's going to be 108 batons handed out at Decafit. So so each day next year at Worlds would be the same. We're just super excited about that. It's going to be a long award ceremony for every Decafit, but we're already seeing registration ramp up big time for the Decafits in the teams division. And I think most of it's because of this announcement.
So hold on a minute. Yancey, how old are you in 2024?
I will be 52. So let's see.
I will be 49.
You and I would be in that 100 to 119 age group, dude. We would be salty. Let me tell you. You want to be on that edge of the. I mean, we
I
don't
know,
need to
that's what I'm
be
saying.
118, 119, right? You and I'd be perfect.
We could do some damage. We could do some damage. There might be some complaints. I imagine one or two.
Well, it's almost a disadvantage because I'm always exhausted. I limped in sideways with Nick Riker as my teammate this year. I was like, dude, I'm so tired.
Well, I'm used to that for Bethany carrying me across the line, so that's fine.
Hey,
Yeah,
but to your
sorry.
point, Bethany, it will be to manage, but it's necessary. It's totally necessary. I think honestly, I think by the end of 24, you'll see 50%+ of all DECA event registration be 50% or more be teams.
I think that's amazing. Okay, so a couple other questions to get through. How will this year's go in regards to the two waves? Like, will one wave go and then the other wave will go at the end, or will they mix together? How does that work logistically speaking?
We're going to have a lot of categories where you're going to have, let's say, 14 to 20. Let's say we have a group of 15. We'll do the classic 10 and 5. If we have 12 or less, we will make it one wave. We're going to have, let's take DECA Strong on Sunday. There'll be 12 lines of equipment. So for 12 or less, we'll do one wave. If we're 13, we will do 10 and 3. 14, we'll do 10 and 4. 10 and 5, 10 and 6, or 10 and 10, if we have 20. We have a few categories that it bumped up to like 21, 22, email miscommunication, this or that, and where we allowed a 21st person, for example, that will be, in that case, it will be 11 and 10. If we go over 20, we'll front load the first wave, allow that 11th person to get into that first wave so we can get as many people in the first wave as possible. But does that answer your question? And you'll have about, give or take, 7.5 minutes until you launch that second wave.
Okay, so for example, in the when the elite, so we'll say the elite fit, when the elite fit heads out, the top, let's just for argument's sake, top 10 go, and then there's going to be about 7 minutes, and then the next wave will go.
Yeah, for the elites, we talked about this today, bringing that down to like five minutes.
Okay.
And the reason we're trying to just buy, there's been a few very, very minor change edits to the schedule that we released out. Nothing that's going to be shocking at all. You're talking about like 5 minutes a couple times. We found that there's so much going on. There are a few things that kind of blew right over my head. I was like, wait a second, we've got a handful of people that are trying to race elite and then the go ruck or vice versa. Go ruck first and then the elite. And it was like, we got to make it. We've got to adjust it in a way where that can be feasible to take place. So, we're launching the female elites first, 5 to 6 minutes after that second wave of females that are 11 plus places will be launched. The age groups, it'll be right around 7.5 minutes.
Okay. And I'm assuming that you guys probably would have liked to have had it completely separated so that maybe we could focus on both as far as a viewing perspective, but that time warrants just doesn't allow that.
Yeah, I talked about that with Matt B. Davis and Will Hicks today. They'll be doing live feeds. It's going to be very, very close. The goal is to get all of the females off the course. Not we'll easily get the first wave of females off the course where the live feeds will be able to relax and slowly make their way over to the male first wave. That'll be a no-brainer, but we've got it pinched where it's going to be tight, but we may be able to get all of them off the course, that second wave of females off the course before they have to shoot over real fast and start covering the guys.
Okay. One more question about timing. And actually, we just had a chat with Alex Walker, and this came up. Doubles, for example, are you, and we do see some people signed up to race both, like, say, male doubles and co-ed doubles, co-ed relay, sorry. So male relay, co-ed relay, or female relay and co-ed relay. Is that It looks from the schedule that it is doable. Is that allowable?
Yes, it. We tried to warn people that you might not be able to pull it off. You literally might be out on course when it's time. I think Kevin Gregory was one of the examples. Like, I don't care. I'm signing up for both. You just motivation for me to go faster, whatever, whatever. In the perfect world, we would be able to spread out the day, or we would have spread out the day where it would have been easily doable. I think there will probably be a couple of cases where people are going to try to do it, and they're either going to make it happen or they're going to get caught and just not able to handle it. I know there's situations that I'm thinking about right now, probably the same as you two. And I'm like, I just don't have them off the top of my head where I'm like, oh, this is going to be tight for these competitors.
All right, Beth, you got anything else to do before we get to this massive draft?
No, those were my questions also then.
Honest, when you're building out the runner show, and it's amazing this year, we have people that are, I think there's somebody that's trying to race 7 events. I can't remember. Is it maybe Aaron Nolan or somebody? There's so many people racing three or more events. And I just didn't factor in that we would have a pretty decent number of people that would want to race multiple teams, literally try to get 3 events in a day. It's just, I just did not think about that, but there are some crazies out there. By the way, we had about 50, 60 people sign up for the freaking Decafit Ultra over Black Friday. They took advantage of that 35%. I looked at registration. I was like, whoa, we're going to have a bunch of people in Fort Wayne, Indiana for the 25K.
Well, if we get time on the end, I got some questions about that. I'm sure you do, Beth, too, because that's kind of on your radar, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to do snake draft just like we did last year. By the way, last year, one of my favorite episodes of the year, and a lot of people said the same thing too. I had a lot of fun with it. Thank you, Rich Ryan, for all the blessings and the idea for doing this from before, which we definitely stole from Race Brain 100%. Now the way it works, if you guys remember last year, I obliterated everybody, absolutely smashed you guys. It was embarrassing. I'm surprised you both showed up. So because of that,
is it really that bad, Bethany, or is he exaggerating?
He's exaggerating. It's because he picked Tara and Ryan Kent. So they,
and I had no. I had Tara. I had Alundra. I had Meg Jacoby, and I had Rich Ryan.
Yeah, that's not good.
It was a pretty good look. I'm not expecting quite so good a look this year. But so because of that, Yancey, you actually, as the godfather of DECA, came last. So you get to pick first this time.
It just goes to, I've got other things on my brain.
That's right. Bethany, you'll pick second.
You're beside me.
Beth, you'll pick second and I will pick last.
So I get to pick first because I was dead last year.
That's right. That's right. And so again, to explain the rules of this, what we do is we pick one person, but all 3 of their individual races count towards their points total.
Yeah. So
just like last year.
Until it gets late. And then the strategy really comes into play when it gets a little later and they're not racing all 3.
That's right. Now we are planning to do 6 rounds. If we have extra time, maybe we'll do more. If not, we'll do less. So we're going for 6 though to start. But Yancey, you have the first round. You are on the board with the first pick, first overall. Yeah. All the pressure. Now the persons you don't pick are going to hate you. They're going to say Yancey's against me.
Yeah. I'm going with my brother Ryan Kent.
Woo. Mr. Kent. Now, where would he be seated? I could call up here. So Ryan Kent, he's like seated 2nd for the strong. Seated.
Tough call.
Similar
to last year, Shadeg came in with just some crazy fast times, kind of like he has this year. Mm-hmm.
But Ryan Kent, captain consistency, he's coming off a great year. He's been on fire all year long, and you really can't knock that pick at all. But I mean, he's one of those triple crown threats.
Nobody pulled. He was the closest last year with a first and a second. Second, a first and a first in that order. Mm-hmm. We did have plenty of age groupers win the Triple Crown. Jack and Robin and I are working on releasing something maybe tomorrow or the next day where you'll You're going to be able to see every single person that's earned the bronze, meaning they've qualified and they're racing all three. And the silver is if you podium all three, and the gold triple crown is if you win all three. Nobody on the elite pulled that off last year. So we'll see if it happens.
In a way, Alondra Greenlee came really close without actually winning a race because she came second at every distance.
Yes.
All right, yes, Beth, you are on the board. Number two pick. And I could just write this down already, I think.
You think?
I think.
I'm going to take Tara Jackson.
Oh, my God.
It was a coin flip, but I'm going to take Tara.
She was my all-star pick last year.
Yeah, I stole her from you.
My coach, my relay partner at times. Oh, yeah. I actually, you know what? I mean, you can't, again, triple crown threat, right? She was came close last year. A first, and a third. You know?
Yeah.
Obviously, good pick. All right, well, I am going to pick who I actually thought you were going to pick. I'm going to take Rylan Shadegg.
Yeah, I knew that was coming, brother.
Yeah, that was my coin flip.
And I mean, self-explanatory. I believe he's ranked number one in everything. Currently has the record in everything.
He is ranked number one in everything, yeah.
Number one in everything, has the record everything, and you guys let me have him number three.
Mm-hmm. Hey, real quick, I feel like I need to be I don't know if everybody's brought up speed on this, but and I don't know if they're going to come into play at all, but Joshua Gonzalez and Anas are definitely confirmed out.
Oh, that's too bad.
You guys knew that.
I didn't know that. That's disappointing, though. I know, just like, I know Anas had put in some good races lately, and Josh had worked so hard all year. Like, he had been killing it, racing a ton.
Is he going to Sweden?
I'm not 100% sure what his plan is. Joshua is a military responsibility. He thought he was going to be able to get out of him, just wasn't. So props to him for, you know, as I like to call the world's most important athletes, the ones that take care of us. But why he can't.
And seen Josh race a lot and seen him race in person, nothing but respect for that guy. He has steadily improved and gotten better. And a really good guy. So that's our loss. It's too bad he won't be there. So I get to pick again because we go back
that's
up.
That's right. I forgot about it.
Yes. So let's see here. So who do I have?
Third's a good spot. It's just as good as one, if you ask me, because of this. This is how it is in fantasy also, fantasy football.
All right. I got to go with the most underrated woman in the world, Vivian Tofudo.
It's a good call, brother. Good call, brother, man.
She is on fire this year. Her DECA has consistently improved. All of her training has consistently improved. And I think the big difference for her this year is she's had a lot of run coaching from Ian Hosek. And I think that's really, I mean, you've been on the course with her. Her running is...
Wow, yeah. Night and day. Yeah, she's tearing it up.
So, yeah.
Virginia Cavalier swimmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Last year at Worlds, we were at the stand where they put your name on the back of your shirt and all that stuff. And some guy comes up to us and he's like, "Hey, do you guys know who that girl is? The one who looks like a swimmer?" And we're like, "No, not really." And he's going, "I know she ran in the elite and he described Vivian, not knowing who she was, just saying she looked like a swimmer.
Oh yeah, they have massive lat spreads.
Yeah.
Lats are like connected out to here. You know what I mean? They can like fly away.
But yeah, so I'm happy to have Vivian on. That's super good. Maybe she'll even post about it on Instagram for her once a year post. All right, Beth, you are up.
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, we go backwards now.
That's right.
Okay, let me see. I'm going to take Camila Massa.
Oh,
good call. Good call.
So she's got a number two ranking, a number three ranking, and a number two ranking in the strong.
Yeah, and you know, 6 months ago, you probably wouldn't have made that pick, but she is.
Yeah.
She has been.
I don't think the broken finger is going to affect her too much. She still destroyed a Hyrox with it, so I think she'll be okay.
I get back to back here. I am going. This is tough because I'm on my girl's side.
Yancey with the really hard thought process, the
Yeah, I'm gonna
dramatic.
go with Rich Ryan.
Ooh.
And I think, I mean, this is I this one may come back to bite me in the ass, but I'm gonna say I'm going with Carly over Alondra. I don't think you know, I don't think she's gonna have an average finish in the Decafit, I think, but I think I've got the chance to really come on strong with in the strong in the mile. Definitely the strong. That strong performance you put out was just,
so
like everybody. I had like 100 messages coming to me that day. You guys don't my Mondays are crazy when something like that happens. So here's a woman that drops.
Where's the video?
People that don't know Carly, they're like, that's impossible. And I'm like, wait, so first off, do you know Carly? Do you know who Carly is?
Yeah.
And luckily I had a full blown video on it. So I went back and watched. I was like, it's legit, folks. She's a badass.
Well, she's just that, like, her ability on the machines is just so, like, her potential there is just so high, you know.
With her
tank, and they know just her sheer mass and her length, it's gives her such an advantage in that area. But I don't think it was a risky pick at all, actually, Yancey. I had her right about there. So
yeah, I think the average person would say, well, it was what Alondra did last year, stick with her. But yeah.
All right. So Rich Ryan, and then we didn't even mention Rich Ryan. Rich Ryan, who I think, again, is doing something just like what he did last year. He was not ranked super high when he came into it last year, and then he just peaked at the right time. And if we've been watching and paying attention, he has been peaking. So he could pull off the exact same thing he did last year.
That would have been a nut job not to take him right there.
Yeah. All right, Beth, you are up. No.
I'm going to pick someone who's a podium threat, I think, too, and who is in two of the races just because there's more opportunity. I'm going to pick Lauren Griffin. She's also running really well.
Great call. Great call. I would not be surprised at all if that girl top five, all three.
No, and when you consider her experience level, right, realistically, it's not that high, which means she's still getting those gains from experiencing each new race.
Mm-hmm.
And she has some solid coaching, Beth.
Yes, she does.
Being coached by Lauren Weeks and Anthony.
That's right. Gosh.
Yes, good coaching, good coaching. Okay, so
salt of the earth power couple they are.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's see here. I actually had Lauren Griffin pretty high as well, so I got to make sure I mark her off here. All right, so I am going to go with a man who was a little disappointed in his run last year, and I think he's going to get some redemption this year. And he is, again, one of those salt-of-the-earth kind of guys. Yancey's relay partner, Nick Riker, right there.
You God, I thought he was going to drop more than that. I was going to be able to get him.
No, I think Nick is going to do a really... I mean, Nick has shown supreme consistency this year. And the fact that he is in all three races, and he, you know, if you look at his rankings, I think he's like 6, 6, and 9. I mean, like, he's just consistent across the board. I think...
Oh, and I mean, if he... You don't... If he's not in the top five at Decafit, I will be very surprised.
And then I'm going to go with another one and another guy here. Last year had a lot of women. This year I'm going to load up the men. This was a tough call because it was another pick I wanted to make, but I'm going with Colin Stiefer.
That was my next one.
Yeah. Having followed him and chased him when I was a rabbit, I know the guy can run, and he's deadly on the machines with his CrossFit background. And again, the experience level, he is getting better and better each time. So I think, man, I'm looking good again here, guys. I'm looking really good.
Yeah. Man, there's still some serious talent all stacked all over the place.
We're going quick, Beth. We might have to go to 10. There's a lot of drinks.
I know.
No, I'm glad we're stopping at 6.
All right, cool. Okay, Beth.
Okay. So now we're looking at podium threats, but maybe not racing all of them. I'm going to go with Dylan Scott.
Ooh, Team OFX is Dylan Scott.
Yeah, I think Dylan is a hopeful for sure on that DecaFit podium.
Oh, yeah, he could definitely slide on there. And, I mean, we saw him in Philly, and he looked so dominant. He didn't even look winded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looked like he was – he had got the lead and knew he was good, it looked like he just set it in cruise control and still put in a great time. So, unbelievable.
Yeah. Dylan runs a smart race.
Did I miss something? It's my turn to – wait, nobody picked Alondra.
Not yet.
Like, that's freaking impressive. That's tough.
There's good names though. It's tough.
You know who's gonna be you better watch out for, because they've been trained like mad crazy guys, is Stankovic and Dylan in the team. Stank is gonna be 10 seconds faster on both of his 500 meter runs. He hates them, that first and that last 500 meter. Mm-hmm. Big freaking 260-pound man, but he's gotten faster at them. That's going to be fun to watch. I don't know if you remember, they had our big freaking Stanker, which caused all the grief in zone 3.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Were you at that one, Beth?
Yeah, we were there.
And I had to freaking step in. I'm like, you know, 170 pounds against 270. I'm like, come on, dude. And he backed down, but he fought hard for that. He could not rationalize what I was coming at. It was like, why we're taking this approach. He was like, and then the very next zone, it worked out to his benefit. But anyway, that was fun. It was just funny seeing the big former New England Patriot freaking wanting to throw people out of the zone with one arm, which he could have easily done. All right, so I get two here. I am going to go with, gosh, I cannot believe I'm getting these two this late. I'm going to go with Alondra and Megida.
There you go.
What round are we on?
I've picked 1, 2, 3, 4. So we're on 5.
Yeah, it's the first pick of the 5th round. Okay, so Alondra. Last year, second and everything, this time like dropped to the 5th round. And I mean, I'll put out there that, like, from what I've seen from Alondra this year, she doesn't seem to maybe have her training as dialed in as she did last year. Last year, she was like an unstoppable machine. And this year, I don't know if work or real life or whatever the case may be, maybe she's not able to do the training load, but she just doesn't seem quite as sharp as she did last year.
Yeah. And I also think I've talked to multiple athletes that, and it almost bit them in the butt, but they're like, okay, early in the season, I got my top 10 mark that I'm almost guaranteed going to stay top 10. And some of them were mm-hmm. very close to slipping down to that second wave. Just because there's so much. I ran some stats. Even with Meg and Lauren out, we have six or seven girls going in faster than the fastest girl going into world champs last year. Mm-hmm. Six or seven that have a seated time higher than the first place going in last year. So, and that's with two of our cyborgs not there. So just a lot of the competition is really stiff.
It's crazy. I mean, I even look at my division and I looked at my time this year. Last year would have had me like sitting as like up in the podium position, and this year I'm 7th, and I'm like, mm-hmm. it's crazy how much everything is bumped up. I mean, like your time last year, Beth, you would have been in the top 12, and this time it was everything's ramped up. Everything. Oh, our relay, especially, like, we're we were 2 minutes faster and needed a huge roll down to get in. Like Jeff and I, and you know, happy to do it. We're really raced, but it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Beth, you are up.
I'm up. Okay.
Fifth pick.
My fifth pick, another podium contention, Kevin Gregory in the Strong.
There you go.
Yep. Wait, is he in the, did he make the mile also? Yes.
Yeah, is he in the mile too?
He's ranked 13th in the mile.
There you go. Yeah, he's running everything, everywhere he can possibly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not the individual fit, right?
No, I don't. Well, I don't know if he might. You never know. He might be doing the age group, but he's not in the elite.
I will check.
He's not elite. Okay.
No, he's not doing age group.
No, he's actually taking a race off. That is a surprise.
Who's it on? Is it? Is it on you?
Yeah, me for two picks. Yeah. I just hold on a sec here. So, all right, me. So, I'm actually happy to make this pick. I didn't know what I was going to get to, but I'm going with Isaac Sanderson.
Damn, good call, brother. Good call.
I believe our first Canadian on the board.
Yeah, it's a great pick.
Isaac Sanderson. And again, a guy with not a ton of experience, but he's growing leaps and bounds every time he races. He'll be in there for the fit and the mile, or fit and the strong. And I'm sure he would have been there for the mile had we been able to find him a race in time.
Yeah.
Which just didn't quite work out. We almost had it, but not quite. And my last pick here, and this is another one I think is going to do really well, is Marcus Wallace.
Dang it. Sucker. I just had this pipe dream that you guys were going to forget about him.
Well, the thing is here, Marcus is great. And he's, again, got that really good CrossFit background. Very strong guy, deadly on the machines. He had to drop out of a race due to, I think he was sick or something happened. Oh, shingles. He got shingles.
I've had that.
Yeah. So he had to drop out, but he's, I talked to him the other day. He's feeling really good now. He's good to go. And I expect good things out of Marcus Wallace. And that's my six picks. So six rounds. That's it for me. Beth, you're up again for your last pick.
So the only other person ranked in the top three who hasn't been picked is Grayson Kilgore in the mile. Don't know much about him, but he's ranked third in the mile.
He it's odd. He just seems
star.
Yeah, he's. But it's weird that you see somebody really, really good at just the one in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Without branching out onto the other, either.
Well, I can see, though, someone not having an opportunity to raise a fit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you get less chance. So, I mean, you have time permitting, right? And time and distance and all that. But you would have thought with a time as good as he has in the mile that he would have maybe put in a good solid strong somewhere. But it is what it is.
I'm totally sidetracked right now because I'm in deep thought here.
All this right. Is last pick, Yancy. This is the big one. This is important. This is the one that wins it for you this time.
And I get two, right?
No, just one, because this is round six.
That's right.
Deep breaths.
I'm gonna go with Chris.
Nice.
Lowski. It doesn't matter what she's in. You gotta respect it.
She could win.
Yeah.
She could win one, and it wouldn't. I mean, who would be surprised if she won the fit?
I wouldn't at all.
I mean, I'd be a little surprised if she pulled off the strong. But I tell you what, I was at one of the very first miles we held in 2020, Grit Fitness down, and I mean, COVID was still full blown. Where I would accidentally post something where somebody wasn't wearing a mask, and I would get like 1,000 messages. You're going to hell. It's crazy. Can't believe you allowed the, it was nuts, but she dropped like a, she didn't even know what she was doing. I literally taught her and she dropped like a 2011. It was insane. Almost cracked 20. You just never know, man. So I'm pretty happy that I got her.
Always safe.
Like yeah. I said, when I first went through this list, we could have went 10 deep and still had great names. Very much so. But what I think what you just bring up about Chris, it kind of speaks to the whole system of the DECA thing. Whereas, yes, there are idiosyncrasies. Yes, there are specificities. Yes, there's tips and strategies and techniques. But overall, fitness is the key. And that's why she was able to go in there and do that, is because her fitness is always at such a peak level.
Yeah, and what I've loved, you know, that we've got 1,100 events have taken place and 100,000 people have competed. We have a lot of data now, and you could take all the cyborg elites and there's one or two categories you're going to put them in. You know, it's like the Kevin Gregory, for example. You wouldn't bet against him in a strong, and really and truly the mile either. But DecaFit, he's an outlier. He's not going to top 20 in the DecaFit, you know, maybe top 15. And like a Carly, for example, you know, she'd be happy with the 10th place in fit, but you're not going to bet against them. They're strong. So that kind of the Kevin and the Carly categories. And then you have those few people like the Rylands, the Terras, the Riches, and the Kents, and a few others like a Vivian, I would even say, and Lauren, if she's here, and a Meg, you know, they could on any given day win all three. It's just two athletes, and that's two really different categories of athletes. Neither one's better. You know, Carly is so insanely on one side of the spectrum with the strong. Like, if she doesn't win it, I'm going to be very surprised, to be honest. But she could not win the fit on her best day, probably. And I guess I could be proven wrong. And then you have somebody like a Tara that could give the best of the best all they can handle in all three. You know, and you actually look at the visually, there's a little bit of a difference, you know, it's so the fact that strong is different enough from the fit that, you know, we could take an athlete that's somebody like a Stankovic, and if he really 270 pounds, if he really trained, could win the strong, but not have a prayer's chance in the fit. And now, of course, in 24, boys and girls, we're going to take it to the 25K. And I talked to Chris about this. I have a feeling she may be there for good reason. And I love thinking of all the athletes that are, you know, think about the number of athletes. Like, let's take all the people that do the Spartan Ultras and the World's Toughest Mudders and love the long stuff. Which ones love that and are good at it, but also have the fitness to tackle 50 zones, and which ones are going to get their asses handed to them with 50 zones, where at a Spartan Ultra or a World's Toughest Mudder, they could go head to head and be right beside each other. But 50 zones is going to provide massive separation with those two different people, you know?
It's going to be a huge event. So since you brought it up, and we do have a little time, which is great. Logistically, how is that ultra set up?
Like, yeah, so the number one goal that I mean, and I remember having tears in my eyes just developing this. For years, for 10 plus years, I've been training people to try to get them across the finish line for their very first Spartan Ultra. It used to be the Ultra Beast. I still call it the Ultra Beast. And 90% of those people have never crossed that finish line. They've never earned that buckle. And they may never do it, no matter what type of training we provide for them. But every single one of those people, if they just have the mental capacity to stay in the game, I don't care if they have to walk the whole damn thing or how slow they are in the zones, but the way we have it designed, every one of them can cross the finish line and finish their very first ultra. And I've been getting a lot of grief, like, well, 25K, it's not an ultra. This is not a running ultra. This is a fitness ultra, maybe the first of its kind. You're tackling 50 fitness zones, people, plus 25K to running. So we're going to start the opens very first thing. Like 7 in the morning, we're going to get them out there. And then we're going to, right after that, we're going to start trickling, you know, getting all the age groupers out there. So in about an hour, we're going to get about 200 people out on that course. That's going to be it. When you start looking at the way that everything's designed and you put it to like the data sheets and crunching the numbers on how long it takes people's in zones, that 200 is that magic number of that's about the max we can have out there on one any given time. knowing that 60% of the time you're out on the running course and then distribute to the zones where we're not going to have any backup. So we're counting on about 70% of that group, 70 to 80% of that group getting off of the course when we launch. I think it ended up being 35 or 40 male and 35 or 40 female elite. So there will be some scattered opens and age groupers out there still conquering the course. But with 65 to 80% of them off, no chance of backup with those 70 to 80 elites that we get out on course. So they'll kind of have the course themselves. And the entire time, the age groupers and opens are continuing to finish. But you got to look, when you do the math, Dave, those people those open categories you launched at 7 a.m., they literally will have 10, 11 hours to finish that course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so 2 hours per Decafit would put them at, and that's walking everything, that's slow walking everything and taking your time in every zone. If you can just keep moving, that belt buckle will go around your neck.
So, go ahead, Beth.
How many at each of the workout stations, how many spaces do you have for people in them?
There's going to be a couple zones, and some of the zones there will just be no risk. There's literally no risk when you run the data, the fast zones. We're going to have a couple more air bikes, a couple more tanks, those type of zones, where a couple more ski ergs, zones where a pretty legit age grouper and all the elites, they just don't take much time in there. But if you factor in 60 to 80 age group, open category of people that are really feeling sorry for themselves and get on the bike, you've seen it, and they take 7-8 minutes. You know, you got to figure that, okay, we could have 5 or 6 of those people in there possibly. So you want to add a few more bikes. But most people will, you know, a lot of age groupers will still hang around, you know, worst case scenario, 2-2.5 minutes to get off that bike. It goes pretty fast. Tanks, even if you're struggling. But long story short, to your question, there will be a couple zones where we go a little more heavy than we do in a normal Decafit. Boxes and, you know, sit-ups, sit-up throws and certain zones and even burpees and the lunges. It'll just really never back up in there as long as you have like 12, 13 zones. Because when you do the math at any one given time, let's say we snap our fingers, we have 200 people out on course. 60% of those 200 are out on the running course always. That's just the running average. So 80 people are spread across 10 zones at any one given time. And most of those zones are really fast, relatively fast zones. And most zones, even if you're moving slow, you know, a person moving pretty fast, running a 20-minute 5K is out on each running double laps for 2 minutes, and most of the zones are going to be significantly less than that, even if you're going somewhat slow. But then there's a couple that average more than 2 minutes, so you got to be fat on those zones.
All right, and it will be run essentially as 5 back-to-back Decafits. So you'll run 500 meters, do a zone, run 500 meters, do a zone, as such, and so essentially you go through all 10 five times.
Nothing will change. You finish that 20th burpee, you go right back out to start your second Decafit.
Yeah.
So it's going to go just like that. We're going to picture one entire straightaway, picture coming off a curve, and you can go stay on the running lane, or you can peel into the pit alley. Where in pit alley just runs along right alongside that running track, where you've got, you know, whatever you need, your hydration, your gels, your food. And you can have up to 2 pit crew. And I've been, you know, the little pro tip for the pit crew is you want your accountant, bookkeeper, teacher type brain person that you've put in charge of keeping track of your laps, because you're going to get race brain. Most people are going to get race brain in something like this. So the smart athletes will have somebody that's swapping off with other people, just simply keeping track of your laps with like a little dry erase board. You know, think the old BMX and motocross dry race
with the board.
I think people that are competitive, that's going to be important, because, you know, there's going to be, just like all Decafits, you get penalized if you miss a lap. Not that it's quite as impactful when you're doing 5 Decafits, but for somebody like a Chris Roglowski or an Alex Walker and those type of athletes going head to head trying to win this thing, and some of the crazy guys that are already telling me they're going to sign up, this is going to be very, very, you know, competitive. And we'll get those, we'll seed it. Like, we'll get the first, the 10 most impactful females and males, we'll get them out at the exact same time. So live coverage for, you know, Jack and I've crunched the math pretty tight. I've put a lot of, you know, pen to paper, and I think anything sub four is fast, but there's going to be some athletes that could toy with that 3 hour barrier, which is just insane. You know, you look at somebody that, you know, if you average 40 minutes, okay, you are 3:20. So
that's still fast.
You would have, if you could average 36. So you take somebody like a, you know, I don't want to say like a Kent or a Shadeg. Those wouldn't be my picks, but somebody that can run a 31, 32.
Like a Dylan Scott, maybe.
Yeah, like a Dylan Scott, you know, could easily, you know, he's a 30 flat guy. He's 30 flat guy. So you say all you got to do is run 5:36. You got to realize how freaking easy a 36 is for him. Yeah. He's going to be below lactate threshold the whole freaking time. So I think there's, and I, my stupid, crazy brain, every, in the old abandoned Kmart for 3 months, I remember the brain going crazy. Like, how, we've got to have this, Jared, to where we have that Roger Bannister 4 minute mile. Like, if, for example, the guys, I didn't think we'd have this many guys break 30 this early. I thought by this time we would have at least one or two, but 30 minutes is still that Roger Bannister mark for us. The 3 hour mark is going to be the Roger Bannister mark for us for the ultra, which is just insane when you think about it. But we've got, anyway, so I could talk about this stuff for freaking an hour. I apologize. I get going.
So I got a couple of questions from the art department / judge extraordinaire. How, okay, so for the ultra too, how will you work the judging? Because I mean, that's going to be like, you're going to need a lot of judges switching in and out for that length of time, right? Is it just going to be, you know, an all call? Because I mean, that's going to be tough to get that many judges.
Yeah. We are going to, one thing we are going to continue, we haven't really announced this yet, formally, but we are going to continue the, and again, it'll never be a requirement. But recruiting, and again, it would not be you just made me think of this. Mm-hmm. It won't be important on this day, but for all DecaFits, we are going to have that graciously asking you to sign up for a short shift before or after you race on DecaFit. We've had 400 athletes step up to the plate and sign on the dotted line. Hey, I'll take this shift. And I think we're even going to be better off. You know, some people will just decide that the day of where they want to go, and we'll plug them in somewhere. But it's really good. I think 2024, because of this new move, we're going to see judging improve a little bit. But it's just going to be a massive push for our affiliates. To be honest, we're going to really lean in hard on the affiliates. We've got probably about 20 affiliates up in that area that are just rock stars. The Journey 333 crowd, Ricardo and team, there's about seven of them. Travis Barnes owns that franchise. They just come in droves when you ask them. So we're going to do some special incentives to get, you know, a large sum of dedicated volunteers. So anyway, that's going to be the big key, is leaning on the affiliates for this.
And a judging question for Worlds, actually, back to Worlds. Last year, we had a situation where when the elites, especially, so you, the judges were assigned to an elite athlete and went with that elite athlete through the whole thing, which, you know, it was good, was great, but sometimes could create a little chaos when they were, you know, running into the stations and you're not knowing, especially on the shorter courses like the mile and the strong, when you're not really sure who's going to get in first, who's in, your judges are running around a bit. Is it going to be done that same way, or is it maybe going to be a situation where you take a judge and say, you know, let's say, okay, so the athletes run into lunges and they get who they get, then the judges move over to the, let's just say, to the rower, and then whoever they get, whatever rower they're at, that's who they get. Or how are you going to work that this year?
A little better layout. We've lived to train another day, and we're a little better at things this year. We won't be perfect, but let's take strong, for example. I think a big miss for us last year is we didn't take the time to, like, this year you're going to have 12 lanes. And my goal for Sunday for the strong, for example, is the number one seed will be in lane six. number 2 seed in lane 7, number 3 seed in lane 5, number 4 seed in lane 8, and just kind of go out like that. And when you launch, that's you're going to, if you're the number 1 seed, you're going to 6 and you're staying in 6 all the way down. And you would keep that judge. It's going to be, remember how you had to leave the zone and go into zone 6 and 9? It was terrible. And looking back, I mean, it worked, but there's going to be none of that. So it's going to be extremely easy for the strong, for that judge just to stay right with them. The mile is definitely the one that's a little more complicated. For fit, it'll be like all fits. You're just going to have a group of judges in there. For the mile, we talked about several scenarios today that we'll have ironed out. Number one, the course. The course will be very similar to last year. We had a ton of people that just – that was kind of a last-minute call on that. We had initially planned for a different layout, but we're going to go with the same layout, that it's exactly 84 meters down, 84 meters back, because you're running 9.5 total laps. So you take 1,600 divided by 9.5, which gives you 168 meters per lap. So it'll be the – and that was just – it's one extra turn than I wanted – but hell, all the records were broken anyway, and it was really, really fun to watch. You'll be able to have competitors on the outside of the running track and plus competitors lined up – I'm sorry, competitors, spectators on both sides, outside of the run, on the outside of the zones. I got a little off track there. But for the mile judging, I'm not 100% set in stone yet. We'll have another meeting on Wednesday night and Thursday if we're going to require the mile judges to stay with the person. You know, all the way down. It's a little more complicated with mile, you know, especially in those first couple of the first zone, the second zone, maybe third zone are the ones that are complicated because it's still pretty tight at that point. So you find the judges hop, oh shit, my guy went over there, and you gotta go find your guy. And I think last year for the mile, it would have been better had we allow you just take an athlete. Don't be scrambling all over trying to find your athletes. So anyway.
Right. Beth, you got any more questions?
Answer. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I got
sometimes
it.
Sometimes I'll be honest. Sometimes when you're behind the scenes, it's a little bit of, let's see how it goes, folks.
So I have one more, and this is not a question. This is a request, actually. So not even 2024. See, I'm not being pressuring. I'm being realistic. 2025 Worlds in Toronto seems like a great idea to me.
Canada is the one that
works good.
Canada is time. I tell you what, if we get to 40 plus affiliates, the Richmond Oval just had their first event recently, but obviously the eastern side of Canada would make the most sense. Always going to have more affiliates there than out west. I can almost guarantee it'll be Canada or the UK. The UK is pounding the drum as hard as they can, but Canada makes the most sense because we have, the only other trailer set, the only other full blown Decafit outfit we have going on over there is our Spain crew, Angel. Now they are for any Europeans that might be listening to this. You're about to see that Angel Spain crew branching on outside of Spain with their equipment and putting on large scale decafits like you've seen all over Spain for the last couple of years. So that's really good for the European crowd and just our growth alone. But man, I would love to see world champs in Ontario in 25.
It would be like a 50th birthday present for me because it's right around my birthday. I would turn 50. It'd be fantastic. It'd be good time.
You guys have been amazing, man. The Canadian affiliate events sell about 15%, 20% better. You know, when you compare average gym size, they sell a little better. I think word spread up there. You guys have done a great job. It hasn't been perfect, but you've done a really good job spreading the word. We're always looking for more growth. You know, my little sales pitch. If you know any gyms who want to jump on a call with me, I'll give them the spiel. But we're spread out pretty nice up there, and I'm trying to think of the new location way up northeast on the military base up there. They haven't had an event yet. I'm brain farting on our new Canadian affiliate up there. They became an affiliate about 2 or 3 months ago. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, wasn't it up in Sioux or Thunder Bay or Sarnia or something. I'm trying to remember.
It's up there in the middle of nowhere.
It is in the north. It is very north.
But it's on a base.
And then you got one recently in New Brunswick as well that opened up too.
Yes. So you guys know I'm a dual citizen. I always get a little extra pumped up every time we get another Canadian affiliate. And I think for the most part, you guys may be 1 or 2% better than us when it comes to just working together and being happy all the time.
We have a small army coming down to Dallas.
I love it.
We're boarding a lot of planes. There's a lot of people coming.
Bethany's racing 2 elite races, right? Did I see that right?
Yeah.
2 elite races.
Yeah, 2 elite races. 6 races total.
6 races total. My gosh, it's so there's so many people like that. I love it.
I ended up with 4.
We're gonna Powerlift is gonna have a massive ice bath. It's gonna be awesome.
Like a big communal ice bath.
Communal ice bath. You know, I maybe we'll have the chlorine tab in there, but it's gonna be a big recovery. And the logistics on that is like I think it's 20,000 pounds of ice that they have ordered. I'm not exaggerating. It's going to be amazing. They're setting up all day Thursday, just setting this thing up. So take advantage of that if you're racing more than once. R6.
This venue is pretty big too, from my understanding, isn't it?
This was our very first 2021. Our very first venue. It's a little bit of a it's really long, and I don't want to say skinny, but it's not super wide. Gosh, I think it's like 35 meters wide. Mm-hmm. So wide, but not crazy wide. Like 100,000 square feet. So like the deck of fit will only take up about half of one side, and registration and merch and the main stage and all the vendors will be right before. So the middle of all the zones, which will normally have some sporadic vendors and the stage in there, it's going to be nothing but spectators down the center, for Friday's setup. You know, the mile will be just almost identical to last year, and Strong will be much more streamlined than a really small, tiny footprint for Strong on purpose. So just kind of fully wrapped with spectators, 360 degrees around it. I'm really excited for that. But yeah, you guys are awesome, man. I appreciate the time. This may be the most I have as much fun doing this as I do all the other stuff, just talking to all the people that make it happen, man.
It's always a lot of fun, and we're very excited. We
don't exist without you guys.
Yeah, we can't wait to get down there. Can't wait to see you this weekend. Beth, why don't you wrap us up?
Thanks so much, Yancey. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and thanks for having some fun with our snake draft too. So we're gonna be seeing you in a few days, waving our Canadian flags and representing, and we'll have a really good time. So thanks for all that you do.
Make yourself as home as you possibly can, and I mean that. You guys make yourself at home.
Take care, everyone.
Much love, team.